Coffee Sketch Podcast is our take on the intersection of old tech and new tech, the space between the traditional practice of the hand-drawn sketch that has been performed by architects and designers for centuries, and the modern-day use of the hashtag as a representation of a sentiment or a movement. Each week we plan to deliver a new pod about our ideas, sketches, and what's going on in our daily lives as we pursue our love of architecture, design, and sharing this knowledge with the next generation. I'm Kurt, and I'm in Flint.
And I'm Jamie, and I'm in Austin.
Hey, Jamie. How's it going?
You always start out with the how's it going. It's going well.
When we first met, and then every subsequent AI event after that, what did I say? I probably said, how's it going?
How's it going? Yeah. I'm a Michigander.
Yes, that part is true.
Yeah, you didn't share that I'm a Michigander probably for like at least 2 or 3 years. So I can't even say that that's true. Total lie.
Well, I mean, I didn't use the term Michigander, but I represented Michigan.
Yes, region. I know. That's the ironic part for me.
I probably talked a lot about USC though.
Complete silliness. USC. We won't even talk about USC. I'm not even going to bring up USC for you in their football season. So, yeah.
but it's now out. It's now out there. Yeah. Which, you know, we were just chatting offline or whatever, off air about this football season of college.
And you didn't even once mention how well Kellen Mond and the Aggies did. So
not yet, or that they
got snubbed by the college football playoff system. Hashtag rigged.
They moved Ohio State in, of course.
Right.
Oh, we can. Well, yeah, they can break rules. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's whatever.
Next year.
Yeah, no, A&M had a really good year. No, I did watch a couple games.
That you did, yes.
As a friend, remotely.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it was a lot more exciting at times than watching USC play football. I mean, except for the fact that somehow at the end of all the regular season games, USC wound up winning, even though they didn't want to.
I know they really seemed like a team who didn't seem to want to at the very end. Maybe they got to that conference championship game and just were like, weren't we supposed to play those other guys? And then just it all, all went downhill from there.
And then they decided not to go to a bowl game either, which, I didn't care. I was like, season's over.
Yeah.
Well, I had half a season, but anyway, this is not this is like us pretending to be a not Coffee Sketch podcast and some other kind of sports cast.
Yeah, like our mirror universe baseball fandom of teams that no longer exist podcast.
Right. Oh,
That's a deep cut. That's like season one deep cut for a Coffee Sketch podcast.
And
so if anybody actually listens to this and then realizes what that deep cut is referencing and which team we're talking about or teams or even Kurt's neighbor who wants to tell him about all those Detroit Tiger wins and those glory years, we could go there. But they did have some cool unis, I have to say. Tigers did have some cool unis.
Yeah. Since we last talked, there's a little bit of sports news. I'm not a huge, I don't know. I read the digital newspaper, let's just say. And I found that you might be excited about this is the pandemic driven decision for the NHL to split the conferences between Canada and America. So they're going to have an all Canada season, basically a whole season just against Canadian teams. And then at the end, they'll play the U.S. champ, right? Something like that?
It's weird.
The article thing I read is like, I guess it's like a throwback to, you know, way back, I guess, what, hockey Saturday nights or something like that? Saturday night hockey.
Yeah, I mean, but it's, they've tossed around, you know, so many, you know, different ways that they're going to try and do it. And I think that, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just going to be very, very strange to see. I mean, how it all sort of shakes out. But it's, you know, effectively they, it's not even that there's like two, because there's four conferences. And so they, they basically like put all the Canadian teams into one.
Oh, right.
And so they're just kind of all, you know, which is funny because, I'm not sure how the competition level is going to really be, kind of at how it sort of shakes out at the end, or what that does in a playoff sort of situation. I think it'll be interesting to see how it does, but, you know, the parallel I would make is that in MLS and Major League Soccer, you know, they tried to do something very similar when they were trying to restart their season or finish up their season, I should say. They had a lot of Canadian teams that initially were across the border and couldn't travel to the U.S. And so there was, you know, because of quarantine and sort of all those types of things. So they ended up playing each other like oodles and oodles of times. And there aren't a whole lot of Canadian MLS teams, right, in an effort to kind of, you know, get players match fit and games in the book and all that kind of stuff. And then when they got closer to the playoffs and figure out who was advancing, and some were and some weren't, the ones that were, you know, the timeline starts to, you know, get a little bit more dicey. And so some of those Canadian teams had to take up residence at U.S. team stadiums, in a sense, and live out of hotel rooms. It just, you know, it's a, you know, I really have mixed feelings about sports related to COVID. I love sports. You know, I do.
Sure.
You know, I really do. I love a lot of sports, and I love to watch them. But it's, you know, I don't like how everybody has, you know, suffered, you know, from a pandemic during all this. And
certainly
the sports give us a lot of joy, and that's welcome. It's very hard to see how some people are handling it.
Whoops.
And how some people are getting sick, and you know, and anyhow, it's just, it's yeah, I didn't know we were going to go there, but that's okay.
Well, you know, well, I can make a subtle segue in that. I mean, you know, your point of you know, the pandemic making its presence known in, you know, in a theme of, you know, our enjoyment of sports and things like that. But we have, you know, a sketch that you've made recently, which obviously, so since the last time we talked, we have now a new president in office. We just a few days ago had the inauguration of Joe Biden. So now we have a new U.S. president, and
We also had an insurrection at the Capitol.
yeah, that's so true.
I
missed that part. Yeah.
I mean, we kicked off season three, you know, with our 74th episode.
True.
And yes. Before we could even sit down to record episode 75, which is what this one is, we had an insurrection. It kind of threw everybody off. And then, you know, and then fortunately, a transition of power after all.
Yes.
But I think amidst all that, what you were getting to is this sketch, which does tie in a bit to, this past year, and all the, you know, different things that we've had to see and experience.
Yeah. And well, the extension of my segue being that, you know, this sketch being, I picked this one, decided to talk about this one today because of the, I appreciated it once I saw it pop up on Instagram of your feed, the proportion. It is a really neat perspective sketch of the Washington Memorial. During the memorial service for all of the pandemic, all the Americans, I guess, that have suffered and died through the pandemic and trying to heal through this time. And it's a really neat sketch. We framed it and we'll get into some of those details in a second. And hopefully, you know, with this new president in office, we can start to see some positive steps forward through this pandemic and kind of get through onto the other side. But this, you know, your sketch is really neat because it's, all that's gone on this past week or two, it has a nice like peace to it. I think it's a very serene, and a calming sketch to me. I really enjoyed it because it says a lot, but it's not, for the point of architectural sketching, it's a one point perspective, right? So you're just looking, at a vanishing point, which is at the Washington Memorial, which is a fairly, I'm not going to say the word easy sketch to pull off, but one point perspectives are very, I guess a little more still, like a still image, like a photograph, right? It's not as
easier to plan.
Yeah.
Compositionally, I think, you know, and that's the thing, the trick is that, you know, I appreciate you saying sort of the stillness and the calmness of it is that DC is certainly a city that I love. I never lived there, but have probably visited it more than any other kind of US city where I've had to really make an effort to go visit, when you sort of travel out of state, so to speak. DC is probably the place that I've visited more than anywhere else in the US since I moved here. And, you know, the National Mall, of which this is the one point perspective of, is really sort of, you know, it's a powerful space. It's architecturally, you know, planned and designed, you know, and everybody who's experienced it either in real life, or in pictures, you know, kind of understand it. But I think that the fact that, you know, our then president-elect and then vice president-elect and their spouses, took a very necessary moment to recognize 400,000 people, now more than that, had passed in 1 year, almost to the day at that point. And then used this space to acknowledge it, I think was really, really something that when I heard that they were going to do it, I definitely wanted to watch it in real time, and made sure that I did. And, you know, as an architect and as a designer, you know, you're conscious of, artists who have done memorials, done statuary, you know, tried to reflect, you know, events, you know, in terms of memorializing it or remembering it or, trying to deal with a space. And I think this one was one where it's like, how do you capture a moment like that with a sketch? You know, for me, it was, I just knew I had to do it for me, regardless of how it turned out. And so, yeah, it ended up being sort of a really pretty simple sketch. But it's one where, again, we've talked about water being tricky to draw. Mm-hmm. And then water at night, you know, where the whole point is that you're getting the reflection of, you know, the space, but also these 400 light sources, you know, lining the reflecting pool. It's certainly not easy to figure out how you're going to do that, you know, just with an ink pen. And so tried to employ a few of the, you know, in the planning of it, you know, we've talked about planning when I do plan, when I don't. I knew it was going to be a 1-point perspective just because of the nature of that space. But then as you kind of dig into it, I wanted to render the trees and kind of the area of that part of the mall, because there's a lot of trees there. The museums are on the other side of the Washington Monument for the Smithsonian. And so, you know, this part, you know, you have the Vietnam Veterans Memorial by Maya Lin, and then you have the Korean War Memorial, and then MLK's Memorial, as well as FDR kind of nearby. And then the Lincoln Memorial is behind you. And what's interesting, I also wanted to capture, just because of the nature of all this other stuff going on, because it struck me, was that as you're looking at these lights and the reflection, sorry for just ranting about this. But it's, I wanted to make sure that I also caught the Capitol building, because you do see the U.S. Capitol there, and it's only just a little fragment of it, kind of in the, you know, way in the distance. It's literally at the vanishing point. And I think just with the events of the last couple weeks, it's just like, it's so much to take in, and I needed to draw something. I somewhat, one announcer, made, kind of a comment saying, something like this, in a year like last year was, and one that we're continuing to live through, if something like this is a memorial that maybe should be considered in a more permanent fashion. And it's an interesting kind of concept. As designers, we certainly can talk about it. I know that there's been some studies of the National Mall, here in the last couple of years, to, preserve some of the geometries, but also we're starting to run out of space, for certain things and sort of the planning of it. But, it was just incredibly powerful and very necessary, long overdue, moment to just, acknowledge something like this. And the fact they did it the night before the actual inauguration, I think was though intended and necessary, I think it was absolutely necessary. And so this sketch, amongst others that were sort of running around in my head at this past couple of weeks, this tried to capture it and tried to use a couple of different, sketching techniques to kind of get trees versus sky versus water. And a tiny sketch, it's one of my smaller ones. I think it turned out pretty good.
Yeah. And what you were getting to about, how choosing how to render a tree in the sky, which you've done many times, but you're using your sky, you're one of your newer sky styles, right? This sort of series of parallel lines, in this case, vertical lines, which kind of really accentuate the monument, the Washington Monument's, height, and this sort of infinite plane that, reaches the ground plane, at the tree line, and then, obviously disappears at the edge of the tree. So it's a really neat way that, all the practice, the previous sketches of this kind of sky, it kind of really falls right in line with the content of this sketch.
Well, and one thing I did different in this one, it does fit into the context of the other ones. But oftentimes what I'll do with those lines, though they're all parallel, the rhythm of them usually varies quite a bit and has a little bit more kind of a musical kind of quality to it, and has a little bit more of an abstraction, because I've always tried to make, and usually there's a cloud or two, and to kind of break up that vista and that kind of vantage point. But to circle back to what you sort of said was the jumping off point with this, this 1-point perspective is like, okay, how do you treat a 1-point perspective when you also want to draw the sky as a plane? And so the thought was changing the rhythm so that the closer you get to the vanishing point, the sky itself is also vanishing. Mm-hmm. Along that same that line, and the verticality of it really kind of accentuates, especially with the Washington Monument in there. So it turned out even better than I thought it would, not having done one specifically like this before. I think the thing that struck me as really, really hard to do was, as much as the geometry of all the objects in this are relatively similar, and the detail isn't necessarily in the item, the objects themselves. It's in the actual shadows, or it's in mm-hmm. the actual mm-hmm. reflections. That's where the detail really lies. And that's, yeah. It's sort of that drawing with light idea that, artists and architects, mm-hmm. you know, talk about with their buildings, and shade and shadow. And I think this one was, you know, that was ultimately the biggest part of the challenge. And then because I chose to draw it the way I did, while I'm sitting there watching this on the screen on the TV, was and only with the pen, there is no sort of underlying pencil sketch, is you get one take at it. And so it started out the way it was. And I got, when I kind of blocked in the perspective, I realized it only needed to be so big. And so that's why you get this sort of kind of framed view of it. It plays to a really good negative space in the book, which wasn't mm-hmm. intentional. That's sort of a happy accident.
Oh, okay. Well, it did create a nice, your result is a really neat frame or orientation in your sketchbook. But I was going to mention, when you went there, is the detail in those reflections in the pool from the trees and the water, or sorry, not the water, the monument in the water, and how the sky kind of, you know, plays into that too. So, yeah, it definitely has like the development of, you know, the void is the detail that's in the drawing, or the void parts, the shade and shadow and things like that. So the parts that you typically aren't drawing, you know, you're trying to draw the physical object. And then, but in this case, it really is the opposite of that.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I think we should sort of maybe leave this one and go to the other one, the other memorial sketch. But it's, you know, the title of this episode is going to be it's a new dawn, it's a new day. And as I was saying to you, you know, before we kind of started this, that vantage point from the previous memorial, you know, you had some beautiful music associated with that unveiling of the lights. And that moment of serenity, kind of, you know, where, you know, that moment of pause that it gave everybody watching. And then after the inauguration, that's from that same point, you had John Legend cover Nina Simone's famous song, you know, Feeling Good. And I think it's appropriate sort of in a way that it was at the same spot for me, you know, 24 hours apart. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to kind of say that's, you know, for the music files out there who love that kind of stuff. It's, you know, there, you know, words and lyrics and, you know, you and I have talked about this, you know, with your brother and then just ourselves is, you know, the architecture theory books, the, you know, art history books, you know, the music that we love, you know, a lot of that stuff has, you know, kind of an interesting influence on the sketches that we do and the way we kind of look at the world. But mm-hmm. That 24-hour period was sort of really, you know, interesting and powerful, you know, in a lot of ways. And that song is just, it's a you know, beautiful song, you know, that, that she did, but then his performance of it was pretty amazing as well.
Right. Yeah. And no, I unfortunately was not able to watch it in real time. So I'm glad you're giving me the probably the best recap I could imagine of both events. I don't know where, I know I was, teaching or in transit, like on inauguration day. So I was, floating around, not in front of a TV, you know, but, you know, listening to some things on the radio. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a subtle, I don't know how to put it, but there's definitely moves that are being made with the planning side of like this new administration that is, they're not blunt over your head, you know, like very obvious, but they're these sort of subtle moves and decisions to, you know, place things like the memorial evening and then, you know, the next morning, and, you know, those kinds of, you know, sort of subtle moves are just by being there, like, how do I put it? Just by, you know, in their subtlety is kind of like enough to kind of change the pace, right?
There's design in it. I mean, I think that's maybe, you know, the, you know, it's an overused word by us, but I think that, you know, there's some design right. in it that.
Subtle by design.
Yeah. That I think is, you know, there's some power in that. You know, for me, you know, it's obviously refreshing to see, but, it's, I think a lot of people, you know, have this sense of calm, you know, over some aspects of it, you know, after something that was so turbulent just at the beginning yeah. of the year. You know, and I think that this other sketch that we were going to talk about, you know, is, it was sort of, again, it's two different sketches on two different days. And, the first was, you know, I always try and do, a sketch of this memorial, to Martin Luther King, that's in DC, having visited it several times. But I always try and do it on either his birthday or the day that the holiday is, which aren't necessarily the same day. And so if you go back through my sketchbooks, you can kind of find mm-hmm. find that point in January. But I hadn't done a sort of a vertical portrait format sketch in quite a long time. Was looking through old photographs and saw some and then went and found a better one to sketch by. And so the first is this sort of really strong light source across the monument, and you get this really interesting kind of silhouette in a sense of him kind of coming out of the rock. But sort of looking off into the distance, and it's that sort of musing and sort of thinking that this month has been, for everybody, that just when I saw the photo and kind of, as I was scrolling through old ones of my own, it hit me that, you know, that's the kind of vantage point that I want to try and evoke, sort of the narrative in my mind. And then of course the challenge was like, when you only do half the book or one page, I've been doing these two page spreads for a while, was the first sketch was so great because it had this wonderful negative space and he's sort of looking off into it. And I was like, well, do I leave it that way and turn the page, or do I give
what to do,
you know, give something else on the other side. So I, you know, mixed feelings about it, but I tried.
Yeah. So I've recognized over the past years, your annual MLK sketch, right? And the monument itself too, you know, various poses or forms that it's taken. And it's, you know, it's something I've come to expect a Jamie MLK sketch, which is great, because I actually haven't yet seen it myself, the monument.
It's a lot bigger than you think it is.
Yeah, I think I might have. I've seen some photographs, and but I still can't fathom the scale of it. But I think it's a really neat. It's a really nice statue or monument. I don't. At what point does a statue become a monument?
Well, it's over 10 feet tall. Right. Well, and it's the thing about its place on the mall near the Lincoln Memorial is that, especially in the sense of more of the modern memorials on the mall, they really capture space in unique ways. So it's not just the image of him here shown in profile, or the quotes that are carved into the stone. It's also the space and how you kind of move through it, how you approach it, how you can kind of walk through it. And earlier other sketches that I've done in previous years have sort of tried to explore some of that. Mm-hmm. That's something that I always sort of find fascinating about, you know, kind of being able to walk around those spaces and, you know, how quiet some spaces feel, and then other spaces you feel like you can talk to folks more. And I think this one, drawing somebody's face in profile is never easy.
sure.
It's still a three-dimensional, and, you know, there's a volume to the form that you still try and capture in that profile. That's mm-hmm. never, without a good light source. And this was sort of, you know, one of the things that I was trying to do here was, and in this case, it's stone, you know, it's a man's face carved out of stone that's coming out of a stone. So there's this kind of other compositional thing kind of going mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. And how do you, you know, again, render that so that you're getting the detail in one and then changing it in the other.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's that sort of using the vertical line. What I liked that I tried to do here was that if you look at the stone that he's kind of emerging from, all those lines are all vertical. There is no horizontal in any of them on that left side of the page.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm setting up some horizontal elements mm-hmm. in there. And so it looks like it's really been just kind of like the stone's been cleaved and, you know, mm-hmm. cut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Well, from what I've seen, that's kind of the style of the monument, which is, you definitely have captured that. You know what? I'm going to pivot quickly or make a side note, because it coincides with, you know, within the past week or so, Danielle and I watched this movie called One Night in Miami.
Oh, you've seen it? Yes.
Yeah.
Did you watch it? No, I saw reference to it. And I was like, oh, that sounds brilliant. I'm like totally putting that in the queue.
Yeah,
you should watch it.
So I think it came across on, I was reading New York Times headlines or something like that, and I thought, you know, well, it was Regina King who directed it, and it's based off, well, it was, I guess, originally a stage play, and then so it's now, she's made it into a movie, a film, I'm not going to give it away, but basically the premise is it's based off of a real event kind of, or a story, but it's completely fictional because it's, you know, Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown all wind up, you know, spending one night together in Miami, you know, after one of Muhammad Ali's fights. And, you know, so while watching that movie, you know, I was like, I knew of Jim Brown, you know, football player, you know, I mean, one of the best as far as stats and all that. I didn't know who Sam Cooke was until I heard some of the songs. And obviously, you know, Malcolm X is a well-known figure as far as what we grade school remember from the, you know, from the history books. And then Muhammad Ali, of course, you know, Muhammad Ali, you know, one of the most well-known boxers. So, you know, you have these sort of figures and all these, you know, in sports and in public realm. And what I was doing, I was kind of Googling each of them as it goes through the storyline to read more about them, but also kind of connect some of the dots, like because of the time frame that they lived in, right, in the 60s, in the mid 60s specifically, which, you know, marks, and then, you know, Martin Luther King also kind of coming out of that, because he was, learned from, you know, Malcolm X and some of Malcolm X's speeches and public persona. But, you know, the 60s were just, well, I don't know. It's hard to really capture in like 5 or 10 minutes, but that movie, you know, this monument and everything that's been going on, you know, especially in the last year with Black Lives Matter movement, is understanding and recognizing the positive that comes from all of these people, right? But, and meaning, obviously, the individuals in the movie, you know, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, you know, as far as specific individuals, but then as human beings in general, right? And how I don't know how to put it, but, you know, how so much of their history has been stifled, right? As a race, I guess, in this country. And, you know, it's really hard. I don't know how to really dig into it, but hopefully we can learn to be better people.
Well, I think it's all education. I mean, if the jumping off point is popular culture and a movie or a film, or in this case, like a monument, you know, and that gets somebody reading more. I read the biography of Malcolm X when I was in high school. Was sort of fascinated with, you know, that period of American history, in a lot of ways for myself, because that's when my parents were married, and Canada was going through its own, not necessarily a civil rights movement, but there was a lot of things kind of going on politically there at that time, and sort of where I'm from. And I would, you know, hear things from them about that period and then what they were living through, kind of watching what was going on in the US. Eventually when I moved to the United States, and then, you know, into the South and then, you know, kind of all over the country, there was sort of a recognition on my part that some of the pieces didn't make sense. You know, there was like gaps, you know, like the history book in school only had, you know, and if you didn't have the right teacher or if that teacher wasn't that wasn't their part of history that they really wanted to talk about, or felt comfortable talking about. And so you sort of have this natural inclination to realize that, you know, either, oh, well, that's what they just taught us in school, or, wow, there's some really big gaps in here. I want to learn more about it. And I was sort of in that phase, I guess. And have that natural inclination to kind of learn more about history myself. But when I saw that Regina King, you know, was, you know, associated with it, I love, you know, the work that she does and the, sort of, it's not necessarily like a fictional history. It's sort of, well, I can't think of the term off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but it's,
oh, I know. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's where you're, that's sort of the blending of things that kind of allows, you know, a different way to digest the information aside from just reading biographies or, right. Or right. You know, academic texts or, you know, visiting a museum. And I think that that's okay too. You know, as long as you're sort of getting it from a bunch of different sources and, you know, right. brings us back to this sketch a little bit is that, you know, somebody probably saw this and thought, oh, well, that's, you know, there must be this other part of the monument if they haven't been to DC and haven't been to this memorial, that there's this other vantage point because I've sort of juxtaposed two different images. They were done in two different sketches. And there's also a quote there as well. But the one on the right in the sketchbook is in Alabama.
Right.
By the amazing American artist and sculptor, and I believe she's an architect now, Maya Lin, who, you know, at 18 did the Vietnam Veterans Memorial or designed that, and has designed several other memorials since, one of which just sort of struck me when I saw a picture of it that I wanted to visit it, was this civil rights table. And there's water also associated with it as well. But it's in front of the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery. And kind of on a road trip, you know, that was, you know, one site that I wanted to see. And we all do that as architects. We have our, we're kind of close to this. Let's go make a side visit. So it's a powerful space. It's just in front of, it's like a plaza space. It's not as large as I thought it would be, but it sort of takes the idea of a reflecting pool and sort of inverts it on itself. And the table then becomes this reflection point with on the table, and you can touch the table, which the interactivity of it, I think, is really pretty marvelous. But you can see these dates of that era. So when you were talking through kind of the history and kind of learning it and Googling it and recalling some things and trying to do a deeper dive on another thing, it made me think of, you know, the aspect of the sketch is that, yeah, I think if somebody went to this monument and saw these things and saw a date in history and saw a little descriptor next to it and didn't know about it, you know, or didn't know enough about it, they have a jumping off point. You know, they have a tangible thing that they can touch and feel and see, and connect to a part of our history that people just need to know. I mean, how many people saw the movie Selma and, you know, didn't understand the gravity of the bridge, you know, or this past year when John Lewis, you know, in his sort of his last march, I guess, you know, as part of the wake and memorial service, you know, went across the bridge one more time, you know, in route to his final resting place, you know, I mean, there were some planes involved too, but, I mean, how many Americans, you know, started to connect some of the dots on that, through images of places and sculptures and buildings and bridges to periods in history. And I think that that's, you know, that to me is the, you know, the story of our culture, you know, that, you know, needs to be, you know, we all need to learn more. And that when I see those things, that's my brain just starts to go and I start to think through all those, you know, things. And if it's something I'm not even familiar with, or it's like, it just kind of blindsides you and you I don't even know that place or I don't know that reference. Then yeah, it's a great, the idea of learning more is a great thing.
The curiosity. As Daniel, absolutely. Daniel likes to put it that way.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to pause for today.
A new dawn, a new day.
A new dawn, new day. Great sketches.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. We both hope that you enjoyed this episode of Coffee Sketch Podcast. Our theme music is provided by my brother, who goes by at Cold Fashioned on Instagram and Twitter. Our podcast is hosted at coffeesketch.buzzsprout.com. Find more show notes and information from this episode. And finally, if you like what you heard, please rate us on iTunes and share us with your friends. Thank you.